MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting now with Philip Short. You find him at Flagship Asset Management, where he's a senior equity analyst. Philip, appreciate the early morning time. Was it only 3 weeks ago? I can't know. It seems just the other day, DeepSeek suddenly arrived on our scene. And it does lots well, faster, quicker, cheaper. One of the concerns, though, is lower energy use, which is, in one sense, good, but it's spooked investors in the energy sector, is my sense. And certainly we've seen some sell-offs in energy post the DeepSeek launch.
Yes, I think it took a lot of people by surprise. But since then, since the market and investors and normal people have, well, the people for the public have had time to digest the news. I think there's a lot of positives to be taken out of it. And results from the early days of the PC, personal computer, and mobile phones, as that there initially was thought to be such a small market for those two industries. And as they became cheaper, in terms of the manufacturing and the use, so the market, total addressable market, became much larger, which then made those, which made the access or the total addressable market much larger. So I think, I think it's going to be actually good for everyone in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, in a note you put out, you referenced Jevons paradox, which I have to be honest, I first heard of about 3 weeks ago when DeepSeek came out. And that's the theory that, as you bring down those efficiencies, it actually does increase that demand. I mean, we bring down lower power cost. It suddenly says to everyone, hang on a sec, we can get this AI cheaper. And that's what can significantly spur demand. I mean, ultimately, DeepSeek, it was a shot across the bow, but it is probably very good for the industry.
I think it's very good. And I think if we take a step away from the companies that are involved and look at the countries that are involved, this is actually a big step up in terms of a race between China and the US. Everyone was quite, I think, a little bit complacent in terms of China's position. One is they're quite secretive and a closed type of a country. And number two, we knew that there was restrictions or a curb on exports of chips and other IP from America to China. So everyone thought that China was quite far behind. And they showed that they're not. So I think that the race now is to who can get the best sort of AI first.
I get your point, and absolutely, we hadn't realized that China was there at the point. There was a massive sell-off in NVIDIA at that point in time when it happened. It recovered a bit. I mean, NVIDIA's probably still going to sell lots of chips, but perhaps lower margins, as you say, as the race is on. And truthfully, I mean, much as DeepSeek came out of the blue, there are many who are trying to sort of breach NVIDIA's moat at the same time.
Yes, I think there's in this sort of tech, this tech part of the industry, you're always going to have those people at the frontier that are going to spend as much money as they can on the most advanced chips available. And in that part, NVIDIA will do well. But there's also the other type of player, which is your average company that wants to automate a couple of stuff or wants to improve efficiencies, that wants to do X amount of output regardless of what the chips are going to cost. So I think now with the efficiency, they can afford to pay less for the same chip that's going to do the same amount of output as the previously higher paid chip. So it's a little bit more complicated when it comes to the chip makers and chip designers like NVIDIA in terms of how their margins will develop. But I think in terms of the infrastructure plays and in terms of the energy providers, because there'll be more chips, whether they'll be high-end chips or low-end chips, there's going to be a greater total addressable market for total amount of chips. I think a good place to invest for AI would be, or AI themed, would be the infrastructure plays, as there'll be larger data centers and greater energy providers for the AI.
Absolutely. And we saw it last year. Microsoft is essentially recommissioning Three Mile Island, which has been dormant for a number of years. It's a giant nuclear reactor because there is going to be demand. And to the point, we actually, DeepSeek just means more demand. Energy is the sort of underlying pinning. Without it, none of this happens.
Yes. I mean, if you remember when ChatGPT, I mean, we're already now on ChatGPT 4, going on ChatGPT 5 and further advanced versions. The first ChatGPT that came out, one search into ChatGPT requires 10x the energy of one Google search.
Yeah.
So you can see the amount of energy demand that's going to be out there. It's insane. I mean, the number of data centers in the U.S. alone is more than all the data centers in the world combined. We've had Stargate announced by the U.S., which is a $500 billion AI investment. And this week we see France saying they're going to do a $100 billion AI investment. Mm-hmm. So this is extremely energy intensive. And I think, you know, that's probably the best place to be right now for AI.
Yeah, and we had results. What is it? Alphabet, Microsoft, Amazon, and Meta. $300 billion spend dollars on infrastructure, on capex as they call it, over the course of 2025. Giant numbers. Philip Short, Flagship Asset Management. Appreciate the early morning time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.